Welcome, members and guests, to the September 18th program of the City Club of Eugene, South Willamette Special Area Zone. Thank you for joining us. I'm James Baldock, City Club President. Our sponsors today are John Brown's Evans Elder & Brown, Capella Market, Eugene's Neighborhood Grocer, and Dot Dotson's Photography. Special thanks go to KPFF Consulting Engineers for supplying our office space and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the podcasts on their site. A quick reminder that we host nearly 50 original nonpartisan issue programs every year, and today is our second program of the 2015-2016 programming year. If you believe with us that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us. We welcome donors, sponsors, members, volunteers, and students, anyone who has a stake in community life. Please welcome our newest members, Sandy Erickson and Ed Breed. Today's program, the South Willamette Special Area Zone, is coordinated by John Belcher, who will introduce the speakers.
Thank you, James. I'm going to give you a brief history. Hopefully it's brief on how we got here. So, would our speakers come to the table, and I'll get you to where we are today. In 2007, the state legislature required Eugene to determine whether there is a sufficient land supply for housing, commerce, industry, and recreation for the next 20 years within our current urban growth boundary. That land supply need is a requirement of the state of Oregon land use planning principles. This led to the Eugene Comprehensive Land Assessment, which, among other things, determined that Eugene has been growing approximately 1% per year, and therefore we need to provide housing for an additional 34,000 residents in the next 20 years. That's a 19% increase over that time. A 19% increase. That figure has now been revised to 40,000 residents. And that study also determined there isn't sufficient land within the urban growth boundary for some of those needs, particularly for multifamily housing. This next led the City Council to impanel the Citizens Resource Group, who were approximately 80 residents representing neighborhood associations, land use advocates, developers, business people, nonprofits, elected officials, and others to recommend how Eugene should grow from here. Their biggest challenge was originally stated by Governor Tom McCall when he said that Oregonians have only two problems with growth, density and sprawl. The Citizens Resource Group leaned towards density by supporting the idea of accommodating much of the needed growth within the current urban growth boundary. In 2012, these ideas were incorporated into the seven pillars of Envision Eugene, including a pillar that states that we will accommodate much of our multifamily housing needed by redeveloping our core commercial areas, key transit corridors, and the downtown area. That is to be balanced with another pillar, the neighborhood livability pillar, which says we must protect, repair, and enhance neighborhood livability. The Envision Eugene process is now in the current stages of adoption by the City Council. Well, unfortunately, it's not enough to decide a broad growth strategy and set it on the shelf. Eugene has to determine specifically where and how that growth will be accommodated. The South Willamette Special Area Study is the first attempt to turn those goals into a map and code for redevelopment. That long-range plan covers the area approximately from 23rd to 33rd Avenue and from the base of College Hill to the west of the Amazon Parkway on the east. If approved, the plan will redefine the forms of buildings that will be allowed within the area, and their allowed heights will go down in some areas and up in others. In the wings are area studies, waiting in the wings are area studies for the River Road Santa Clara area and for the neighborhoods surrounding the University of Oregon. City planning, back to the South Willamette area, the city planning staff first presented concepts for the redevelopment of South Willamette Street at a public workshop to gather community ideas in early 2011. Since then, they have refined those ideas with further workshops and presentations to the public and discussions with the Planning Commission, resulting in the South Willamette Concept Plan being completed in June of 2013. Next, the staff worked primarily with the Planning Commission to develop the implementation proposal, now named the South Willamette Special Area Zone, which has had a public hearing and revisions by the Planning Commission to prepare it for consideration by the Eugene City Council. So here we are today, and please listen carefully because these dates have changed. The City Council will hold a work session on the plan on October 21st, correct, Terry? And a public hearing on November 9th, so those dates have been pushed back. We've asked Eben Fodor from South Willamette Neighbors, a group formed over concerns with the plans, and Bill Randall, a current member and former chair of the Eugene Planning Commission, which works to develop the plan, to share their perspectives in an order as determined by a coin toss, with Eben going first. So I'll give you their bios, and then I'll turn it over to them. Eben Fodor is a community planning consultant and a principal of Fodor & Associates, which represents businesses, individuals, and community groups in land use cases and helps resolve land use and development conflicts. He holds a Master of Science degree in Environmental Sciences and a Master's in Urban and Regional Planning, both from the University of Oregon. His BS degree is in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he has worked as an engineer in the energy field for many years. Bill Randall is an architect and senior principal at Arbor South Architecture. He has lived in our community for over 50 years, since second grade. A graduate of the University of Oregon School of Architecture and an Oregon licensed architect, Bill is also a LEED accredited professional, a certified sustainable building advisor, and has been a member of the Eugene Planning Commission since 2009. He and his wife have recently downsized and built a new home near downtown that is targeting LEED Platinum and may possibly achieve net zero. At the end of their presentations, we will ask Andrew Fisher, chair of the Eugene Area Neighbors, the neighborhood association that contains the majority of the proposal, to ask the first question. So I'll turn it over to Eben.
Hi there. My name is Eben Fodor. I wanted to thank John for the introduction. I want to thank the City Club for hosting this very timely and important topic on the South Willamette Special Area Zone. So John mentioned, I'm a professional planner, and one of the things I do is help communities address development conflicts and city plans that have, they're overreaching, have problems, don't comply with the laws, have inadequate public involvement, or cause adverse impacts. And I do this kind of thing all across the country. So it was with quite a bit of surprise that I discovered there was just such a plan in Eugene, and that it was, in fact, in my very own neighborhood. And I'm in the impact area, in other words, the 500-foot notification area that the city has. For whatever reason, I did not get any notifications from the city, so it's not clear what happened there. I'm pretty careful with my mail, but I didn't get any of the two notifications, and they were just simple. One was a card, and the other was a letter saying notice of public hearing. So because I'm on a lot of email lists and so forth, I got a lot of notices of various things, but I think I would have noticed this. And my other neighbors did not receive it as well. So there was something happened, and you have to consider that was basically the notification for what I'll describe as quite an ambitious plan. So before I get into plan details, I want to just talk about the neighborhood that I live in a little bit. First of all, I did learn about this plan from a letter in the Register Guard by Richard Sunt, and he's a neighbor. So that was the first news that I saw of this plan, and I read both newspapers cover to cover. Richard learned about the plan from another neighbor. So that's how we're hearing about this plan. And since then, we've organized. A lot of volunteers have gotten together and gotten the word out. We've done a lot of outreach. I think at this point we've done more outreach than the city did in the 5 years that they were conducting this planning process, in the 2 months that we've been active. So I want to talk about this neighborhood a little bit. I've lived there for 25 years. I love the neighborhood. I live there intentionally because I have access to things. I can walk. I can bike. It's a very stable neighborhood. People love it. And so it's a high-functioning neighborhood. It's got a lot of good qualities. And that's widely recognized. There are things people value there. So the established neighborhoods are part of what we value. And they're actually part of the public record here, because the city did ask people, what do you love about this neighborhood? And early on, and this was a good element of the public involvement process, and people put hearts on the things that they love. So some of the things they loved are... the existing neighborhoods. Both of the existing neighborhoods marked with hearts are planned to be rezoned. The views are part of what was loved. And views in all directions. So those will significantly be impacted.
A lot of the stores, Capella Market, Tsunami Bookstore, True Value Hardware Store, they got hearts. I'm not sure if these businesses will continue to be able to function under this plan. They'll definitely be impacted. So open space was also marked as something we love. Amazon Park got a great big heart, but also the Willard School site is basically the last remaining large tract of open space, and it's got a heart. People love open spaces. But unfortunately, under this plan, that's going to be all high-density residential. No school, all high-density residential. So they're not showing that in the current draft of the plan, but it's in the planning process. So once they move past this, that's the plan for that site. So let me get into talking about the impacts. First of all, as an engineer, a former engineer and trained as an engineer, you know, we have an expression that's widely known, and that's if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And very simple, the process of fixing things that aren't broken causes a lot of problems. And I think that's the situation we have here. We have a very good neighborhood. It needs a few things, but it doesn't need a massive overhaul. So what is this plan? What is the South Willamette Special Area Zone, or SWAZ? Basically, it's an 83-page zoning amendment. And if you want to learn about it, you've got to read an 83-page zoning amendment, because there is no summary document that describes all the various elements of this plan. It's very complicated. It's massive and it's complicated. So it includes three new zones, three brand new zones, three new overlay districts, and it rezones almost 500 properties. The area was described in the paper this morning as involving a few blocks along one street and a few blocks along another street. So I just took a look at the plan this morning. It looks like it's 40 to 50 square city blocks will be rezoned. Because this is not a small plan. 40 to 50 square city blocks would be rezoned in this plan. I don't know of what the proper pretense would be to go and rezone people's property. So if you consider it, but most of you own property, you know that the zoning is very important. You check the zoning before you buy the property. You check your neighbor's zoning. You know what can be done in a neighborhood. And those are the terms in which you buy your property and invest. And for most people, it's their primary investment in life. And the city's proposing to go and change the underlying zoning on almost 500 properties, specifically 229 single-family homes, approximately 100 of which would go from single-family residential, basically one house per lot, to five-story buildings. Okay? That is dramatic. That is on the point of being draconian. And as I was trying to think about this and trying to put it in some perspective, I was trying to think what kinds of conditions would I consider that would be urgent enough to require compulsory rezoning on 500 properties. And I really couldn't think of a scenario that would be that urgent. And I thought maybe a national emergency of some sort. And so I thought, what kind of national emergency could it possibly be? And I couldn't even come up with a national emergency scenario in which a city would want to forcibly rezone 500 properties. So we don't really have anything urgent. There is absolutely no urgency involved here. The planning staff even said that at a meeting a couple nights ago where we had an audience that was even larger than this one. I see I'm almost more than halfway through my time already. I've got a lot to say about this plan, so I hope I'll be able to answer some more issues in questions. This plan changes the metro plan, it amends the local refinement plan, and it greatly increases the potential density of the plan. If you're interested in learning about the plan, one of the first things you want to look at is the Blue Heights map, building heights map. And the best place to find that is on the neighborhood website that South Willamette Neighbors has created, because we need it to provide information to the public. That is the best place to find a whole bunch of information on here, and we have links to the city's website. So that has the blue building heights map right on the front page. So that is South Willamette Neighbors. That's swneugene.org, swneugene.org. And you can find that map, and that's well worth looking at. Now, I just want to point out a couple things about it. It says maximum building heights, and it gives numbers. And it looks like five stories from the top of Willamette, starting at 22nd, all the way down to 33rd, primarily five-story buildings. Well, the reality is that if you actually read this zoning code, this 83-page code document, you see that these the buildings along Willamette can go two stories higher. So the reality is it's seven stories along Willamette. So this is why a lot of citizens and neighbors are concerned about the canyon-like effect here. Woodfield Station is proposed to be, it shows seven stories on the diagram, that can go to nine. So the entire Woodfield Station site could go to nine stories. Skipping through here, because clearly I'm going to be cut off very shortly, the city hasn't really provided the adequate information on the impacts of this plan. So there is no traffic impact study. We have no idea how many additional housing units would be allowed, whether it's 1,000 additional housing units, 5,000, or many more. There's no parking plan associated with the study. So if you had to, if you had, as a private individual, if you wanted to rezone one property, you'd have to do a traffic impact analysis. But the city's going to rezone almost 500 and do no analysis. There's no affordable housing impact study. And this area that they're rezoning has some of the most affordable housing in Eugene. It has a wonderful mix of affordability. So a lot of that would be compromised by this plan. There's no school impact study. So this is going to create a need for schools. And the city hasn't bothered to locate where potential schools would be. The one school that's there, the Willard School, is proposed to be converted into high-density residential. No environmental or climate impact study, no study of any kind. Lastly, I want to just mention that there are no improvements associated with this plan. So I guess I won't be able to tell you about that. Maybe you can ask me questions about it. In the meantime, you could look at our community website and learn more about it. Thank you very much.
Well, as John mentioned in the introduction, I'm Bill Randall. I'm a principal with Arbor South Architecture here in Eugene. And I guess I just wanted to start and again thank City Club and all of you for having us here to speak to you today. The South Willamette Plan was initiated in early 2010 by the Friendly Area Neighbors, FAN, and the Southtown Business Association, SOBA, with the intent of creating a more walkable and livable district in the area in and around Willamette, roughly between 22nd, 32nd, or 23rd and 32nd, right in that general area. Starting in April 2010 and through 2015, there have been 48 public community meetings, workshops, open houses, events, and neighborhood presentations, as well as an unprecedented 25 work sessions and meetings before the Planning Commission. Today is the second City Club presentation on this subject. There are currently 650 people on the interested parties list. And during these last 5 years, hundreds of residents and business owners in the South Willamette area have been involved in giving input, ideas, and helping to shape the concept plan and the code that is now headed to the City Council a little later this year. The initial draft of the code was presented to the community in April 2014 through public events and neighborhood group meeting presentations. The Planning Commission held a public hearing in June of this year, and we sent our unanimous recommendation for approval to the City Council in July. What we heard, and what is now being proposed in the South Willamette Plan, was a desire to create a livable, walkable district that will benefit businesses and residents in the area. Options for getting around by car, by bus, by bike, or on foot have been included. It will allow very intentional and thoughtful growth. I also want to remind everyone that none of these changes are going to happen overnight, and none of these changes are being forced to happen. This is long-range planning for the next 20 or more years. The idea with it is to put measures in place now so that that will control the growth that we anticipate over the next couple of decades so that when this growth does happen, we're ready for it, can shape how it occurs, and not have problems to fix later. I want to focus my presentation today on some of the key points that outline what I see as the positive impacts that this will have on the entire South Willamette District. First, with building heights. There will be a five-story limit on building heights along Willamette Street. Current code allows 120 feet, about 10 stories, on all sides, even up to the sidewalk. The South Willamette Code reduces this in half to five stories and also requires everything above the third story to be set back an additional 15 feet from the street. This opens up the street to light and avoids the canyon effect of very tall buildings built right on the street with no setbacks. The entire district has clear, thoughtful heights, setbacks, and relationships between buildings and developments, between forms and uses. It is much more detailed than simply a code that just shows height and setback. And virtually all height limits throughout the district are at or below what the current code allows. There are clear diagrams, examples, details, and objective information that show the intent, as well as the requirements of the code, yet still allow flexibility in design. Second are transitions from one use to another. The South Willamette Code has some of the most aggressive transition standards out there. In the mixed-use, apartment, condo, row house character zones, there where those uses are adjacent to single-family homes, the maximum height at the property line is lowered to less than what could be built with another single-family home next door, and the building setback is doubled. Trees are required in the common transition area as well. Balconies have to be set back even farther. We are raising the bar on the quality of materials required for exterior finishes and spelling that out right in the code. This protects the value and livability of any neighboring single-family homes by setting a high standard of protection. Third is automobile parking. This code does not wage war on the automobile. In fact, automobile parking will increase by 237 spaces in the district. Over time, this code provides public, on-street parking spaces throughout the district, which is equivalent to the number of spaces in the Pearl Street garage downtown. And this is in addition to parking required by any new development. Minimum parking ratios are still in place for new development as it occurs, matching the requirements of the downtown Riverfront and Walnut Station districts. Fourth is housing. There are some increasingly popular housing types that are missing in our mix in Eugene. Row houses, courtyard houses, cottage clusters, among others. As an architect, I'm seeing smaller homes becoming the trend nationwide and in Eugene. The McMansions era has passed, and affordable housing options are much more likely with smaller homes in walkable districts. Increasingly, transportation costs are finally being considered in the true cost of housing. Building cheaper houses in the suburbs or on the outskirts of town, where virtually all trips must be by car, in reality increases housing costs for those residents. Housing closer to shopping, working, and services is ultimately more affordable. The detached single-family home is still allowed in the district. What is attractive to me about the South Willamette Plan can be summed up in two words: balance and options. First is balance. This has been one of my key words and perspectives as I've served on the Planning Commission the last 6 years. Often we seem most concerned with how something affects me personally and miss the benefit that may have on our community as a whole. How to balance the community benefit with each of our own desires is the challenge, and I think the South Willamette Plan achieves this incredibly well. We won't have five-story buildings lining Willamette Street tomorrow, or even next year, but we will have an overlay of standards so that when that first building is built, every other property surrounding it is impacted in a positive way. Heights and transitions are addressed. Parking is addressed. Materials and finishes are addressed. There is a balance in all aspects of the plan. And part of the balance the Planning Commission and the City Council have to address in the South Willamette Plan, as well as most everything else we review, is listening to the varied opinions and ideas from the community and then crafting and synthesizing that into a direction that is good for our entire community. Hundreds of people over the last 5 years have provided these opinions and ideas, and many have been incorporated into the plan. Options. Now, this is where it gets personal and passionate for me. I grew up in Eugene, as John mentioned. I moved here when I was 7 years old. Well, actually, my parents did. Thankfully, they brought me along. And I've lived in Santa Clara, Springfield, River Road, Southwest Eugene, and now near downtown in Jefferson Westside. My wife and I love to walk and bike. And as we age, we want to stay healthy and be healthy enough to enjoy our older years. Our kids are grown and gone, and like most Americans, we probably don't exercise as much as we should. Our last house was in the Hawkins area in Southwest Eugene. And if you're familiar with Walk Score, the ranking of walkability of a neighborhood, our Walk Score was 0 on a scale of 0 to 100. Virtually all trips needed to be done by car, and we didn't have many viable options. Our new home has a Walk Score of 84 and a Bike Score of 100. We've lived there now for 3 months, and we love it. We still have our cars, although we're only driving one now, I've started biking or walking to work. I haven't driven to work since we moved. And we often grocery shop with backpacks walking to one of the two markets conveniently close to our home. Our transportation options have increased. Our biking has increased. Our walking has increased. We are getting more exercise. We are saving money by driving less. And because we are out walking more, we've met and now know more of our neighbors in the 3 months we have been living where we're at than in 16 years in our previous home. South Willamette already has a good mix of housing, shopping, working, and recreation. It will only see this improve through the plan. The basic foundation and infrastructure for this next step is already there. The South Willamette plan builds on that in a way that will achieve the vibrant, livable, walkable area first envisioned when this process began in 2010. Borrowing from the city website, the goals and outcomes include supporting a well-connected, healthy, and walkable district, creating opportunities for more commercial jobs and homes, including a greater diversity of housing types, setting standards for the physical form and scale of future development, setting standards for active, successful streets in the public realm, and realizing principles for compatible building design and transitions. I believe this code achieves these goals and outcomes. There seems to be some misperceptions about the proposed plan and code floating around. We live in a culture where thoughts and ideas can go viral, whether or not they're actually true, and I call this the Facebook effect. So my challenge to you all is to look at the plan itself firsthand. Spend some time reading through it. It's all on the city website, and even though some of the code is written in the legal jargon that codes require, there are plenty of diagrams, pictures, and text that explain what the intent of the code is and how we can achieve the goals FAN and SOBA and the community first envisioned in 2010. Be informed. This is important stuff, and important stuff deserves your time. Thank you today for your time, and I appreciate being able to talk to you.
Thank you. Today's topic is South Willamette Special Area Zone. Our speakers are Eben Fodor from the South Willamette Neighbors and Bill Randall from the Eugene Planning Commission. We'll break now for a few minutes and then return with members' questions.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians in Eugene, 89.7 FM KLCC, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
Welcome back to the September 18th City Club program, South Willamette Special Area Zone. Our guest speakers are Eben Fodor and Bill Randall. City Club members, please identify yourself and keep your questions to about 30 seconds each, but we have a first questioner to begin. Andrew Fisher of the Friendly Area Neighbor grew up in Tillamook and moved to Eugene in 1991 to pursue a Bachelor of Arts degree in metal sculpture from the University of Oregon. He is currently employed as a metal fabricator and welder. He has been a member of the Friendly Area Neighbor Board for almost 8 years and is at the end of his second year as chairperson. Andrew joined the FAN board to raise awareness in the neighborhood of the neighborhood's history and to facilitate communications between friendly residents, the City of Eugene, and other community partners. I give you Andrew.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you, City Club, for hosting a forum today. My question is, how does a community like ours best plan for future growth and new residents while simultaneously protecting, preserving, even enhancing the quality of life in established neighborhoods for its current residents and existing businesses? Or, to put it another way, what are the most important principles, the values, and the considerations that should guide these planning processes?
Bill Randall, and I guess, Andrew, I think in looking at it, it gets back to some of what I had said earlier as far as looking at the entire community and really trying to do what's best for our entire community and recognize that, you know, each individual area, I think, has its identity, and it's good to preserve that as much as possible. But as our city grows and as our neighborhoods grow, they're going to change. And I think change is inevitable. And I think what I like about the South Willamette Plan is that it it controls that change in a way that it does provide what I believe are those protections to the neighborhood.
Eben Fodor. So first of all, you know, we just completed the Envision Eugene process. It has some approval phases left to it, but we've gone through the basic process and had a rather lengthy public engagement process, and we determined that we've got an adequate land supply for the next 20 years for housing. So we've done essentially what you were asking. We've just done that process, a very lengthy, engaging process, reasonably well done. And so this is not required by state law, this South Willamette Special Area Zone. It's not a requirement of state law. It's not a requirement of Envision Eugene. It's an extracurricular activity. And as far as I can tell, the primary advocates for this are the city planning department. So I think it's not clear to me why we need this plan at this time. It's possible that in the distant future we would need such a plan. And originally when they started this process 5 years ago, that was the premise for the concept plan, was a distant future plan that would be, in some people's words, beyond our lifespan. That would be certainly beyond 20 years and probably not to 30 or 40 years out there. So here we're seeing a plan instead that could be approved by the City Council in November 9th after the public hearing. It would go into effect 30 days afterwards, and we'd have rezoned almost 500 properties by the end of this year. We could see developers start immediately developing next year if they're enterprising and ambitious, which many are. And we could see 1,000 new housing units in this area in the next year. So this is not good planning. This is not the kind of process that I think anticipates the way we should grow. Planning is intended to anticipate things like needed school capacity, needed parkland. This plan includes no road capacity at all. So where are these thousands of housing units going to drive? Everyone that lives in South Eugene knows that we're at or near capacity on our critical arterial roads. Willamette, Hilliard, 29th, 18th, these roads are very congested now, but add thousands more vehicle trips to those, and what's going to happen is we're going to have a serious backup. So we're going to have people stopped at the signal at 29th Willamette. You're not going to just get through after one stop. You're just going to be three cycles. People are going to back up all the way down to Donald intersection. The traffic is going to be so bad people can't get to their shopping areas that they love, and they're going to have to go other places. They're going to overflow, of course, onto Hilliard, which is already at or near capacity. So Hilliard will be difficult to get around. We'll lose the mobility that everyone in South Eugene cherishes. Our ability to get around town will be gone. It will take two or three times longer to get where you want to go. So it's a question of not, looking at the infrastructure. And we talk about planning for density. You know, smart growth provides a formula that is intended to provide amenities associated with density so that you make urban living more attractive by providing some urban amenities, which would certainly include parkland. But there's not a single acre of parkland included in this plan. So I better cut off my response there and go on and get some other questions. But thank you.
I'm Mary Layton. I've been a member for a while. And two people at our table, without talking to each other, independently came up with this exact question. How do you, respectively, explain the differences in your perceptions about the inclusiveness of the process and the quality of the plan? It strikes us that perhaps there are lessons to be learned for the next big project we have that we could carry off from this. Because it's like, one person was saying, I really support Plan X, and the other person was saying, I hate Y. How did this happen?
Sure. Eben Fodor. So I can't, honestly, I can't answer that question. It is a bit of a mystery. The public involvement process, in my mind, was highly deficient. And, you had the planning director recently sent an email to the City Council saying what an exemplary and extensive public involvement process there was, and saw an email from the mayor saying there have been many, many, many meetings about this. But I looked at the public record, and that's not what I see. I see a small number of people participating in these meetings, and it's usually the same people participating in the meetings over and over again. The first year I went through the public record to see who exactly was involved in this, and let me tell you, that took some quite a bit of effort and time to go through that record. And what I found was that first meeting had 6 people. The next meeting had 10 people. The next meeting had 13 people. Then there's some meetings that were unreported. Then the last meeting of the year, this is the first year in which this planning process, had 8 people. Okay, at that point, if I was planning director of the city, I'd say, cut, this plan is toast, right? Let's ride a different horse. This is not a plan we need to stick with because people are not supporting it, they're not interested in it. But they kept going, and the following year, they started off with a meeting that had 8 people. Okay, and we're talking about a plan here that rezones almost 500 properties. And the first year, I estimate that between 20 and 25 unique people were involved in the plan. So I can't say that that is a good planning process or good public involvement process. And if I look over the 3 years that it took to develop the concept plan, which was sort of a different type of document than a rezoning plan, my estimate is that there are about 100 unique people involved in that planning process based on what is in the record. And that is fewer people than are in this room today. There's probably about 130 people in the room today. More people here than were involved in the planning process that created the concept plan. I'm not including city staff in that as attendees in those meetings. So, I do think the plan was deficient, and I could go on and talk a little bit more about the more recent aspect of the plan, but I should turn it over to Bill.
May I request of both the speakers that you keep your answers to about a minute? We've got a large sure. number of people, and we have a limited time for questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bill Randall, and I guess I want to respond to what Eben was saying. As far as the meetings in that, I was at a lot of those meetings. I've been on the Planning Commission since 2009, and so I've been part of this process almost from the beginning, and there have been more than 8 to 10 people at these meetings. And so, I've been there, and I can tell you that there have been more than 8 to 10 people. There's just been a lot of outreach. There's a lot of ability for people to provide that input. So that's, I guess, how we get to that difference in perception.
Randy Prince, City Club member and a resident of the Amazon neighborhood, which has South Willamette as its closest retail area. You described, Mr. Randall, a process that began with a shared vision of creating sort of a new landscape, a walkable 20-minute neighborhood, neighborhood association, the businessmen, the city supporting that. But you also assured us that the changes are not going to be so drastic. The parking requirements for those who live there will remain the same as they always have been, where a car is assumed as the way to get around. And for those who visit, we will have the same system with on-street public parking and privately operated lots. We won't have any big assessments for public parking structures or lots. Well, so much for the stick. I see that it isn't that punitive. But what about the carrot, the sidewalks that this wide, this new landscape will have? What will pedestrians look forward? You've been quite specific about building heights. How wide will the sidewalks be? And there's concern because some new developments, such as the Capstone and other buildings around town, have actually narrow sidewalks. And although it may not be a canyon effect up high on the street, it's very crowded and not very welcoming to pedestrians. So can you tell me specifically how the new plan provides these wider pedestrian-friendly spaces at street level?
Sure. Bill Randall, I'll start on this one, I guess. And along Willamette Street, I know the idea is to have an additional setback along Willamette to help with that sidewalk, to provide some incentives to developers to provide additional pedestrian space along the street. One of the biggest things, if you look in the plan, there's a whole street typology in the plan that lists the types of streets and where they're located and how they will look. And the idea is to have wider sidewalks, more pedestrian amenities, on-street parking, and those sorts of things to help enhance that. The other thing, I just want to get back to Willamette, is that you need to remember, it won't. Part of this is fixing the Capstone problem, frankly, because with the 5-story limit along Willamette, in that first 3-story, within that first 3-story area, either within first, second, or third, but certainly at the third, you then have to step the building back another 15 feet. And so that what that does is that reduces that canyon effect that we get with Capstone.
Eben Foder. I'll just add that, you know, I do like some of the streetscape design elements in this plan. The problem that I see is that it relies entirely on the private sector to implement the streetscape. So that means that they'll only be implemented when there's redevelopment, and that virtually every parcel on the street would have to redevelop before the street plan would materialize. So that would indeed probably put it beyond my lifespan. And that's the situation with the Lamina. I think we need to, you know, address these things a lot earlier. Randy Prince mentioned parking, the parking issue, and I just want to point out that this plan, it designates the whole area as a multimodal mixed-use area. And what that allows the city to do is, of course, skip the transportation impact analysis that I mentioned before, but also to slash parking requirements. So to give you an example of what the parking requirement will be reduced to, a three-bedroom apartment or condominium has a requirement for half a parking space. So under any scenario that I can imagine today, a three-bedroom apartment is going to be three single people, likely all employed, likely all with cars. Or it's going to be a family, mom and dad, and two to three kids. Mom and dad, current demographic, they both work, both need to get to work. So a half a parking space is not adequate. So what we're going to see is a lot of impact on the neighborhood and on residential streets. We're going to see a lot of parking problems. So once you're able to get to the business district on Willamette, we already know there's parking problems there. Parking problems will be significantly exacerbated. Thanks.
Kathy King. Sunlight has increased in Eugene 10 to 15% in the last 20 years. Eugene Planning originally omitted my comments regarding preserving solar access. Should solar access protection be considered for current owners who may want to install now more affordable solar electric systems, soon with Tesla battery storage power packs, and sunlight to enhance health and to grow winter gardens, which I've grown for 35 years? Does this harm livability of residents there? And should we engage permaculture consultants to design real sustainability, emphasizing food and energy self-reliance? Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy King. Eben Foder here. So, I'll definitely be brief, but I think that, the solar access issue, I like the idea of broadening it to include gardens, because the solar energy and food production are both going to be very important. And I don't think that the solar access has been adequately considered in this plan. I think there will be issues with sunlight and certainly issues with views. Thank you.
And Bill Randall, I have solar on my house, but I think the challenge when you have additional density is always that balance between solar and the density. And I think the single-family options especially have provisions where you'll still be able to do solar on some of the higher density areas. It may not be as adequate.
Cindy Allen. As I understand it, South Eugene is the pilot program for massive rezoning in the rest of the city. I was recently at Blue River, and there was a little water in the reservoir. Until we have a better understanding of what we're facing with drought, I think that we should proceed very slowly with this unmandated population increase. We hear about infill, but until a few days ago, the farmlands of Sea Loop were trying to be rezoned. I hear a lot of vague concepts, but where are the studies? Traffic, parking, increasing to city services, schools, loss of property value to homeowners. What about MUPTI? This land is too precious to be handed over for stack and pack housing. Much more discussion, I think, is needed. And
if you don't have a question, let someone who does.
Joshua Sko, City Club member. I do have a question. But I do need a little bit of setup. First of all, I just want to say I really appreciate the intense community interest and really good discussion, also from the multi-neighborhood association meeting on Wednesday night. It was very productive. I care deeply about the quality of life in this area. I live a couple blocks north of the special area zone with my wife and two young daughters. Eben mentioned the word emergency, as in only an emergency would warrant such change. I see three emergencies related to urban form that I'd like you to comment on. We have a national public health crisis directly linked in part to a crisis of inactivity, often because we have no transportation options. We have a national crisis of housing affordability in many places, often because we lack diverse housing options, and I think I don't need to explain climate change linked to our transportation and housing patterns and energy use. Now, it's okay to love our neighborhood. I do too, and I really applaud the neighbors for their passion and involvement, but what is our shared vision? What is the shared vision that you two have for taking on these crises with urban form, because it is so closely linked? And you could do just one crisis. That would be enough. Thanks.
Well, I'll start. Bill Randall. I guess it does get back. The Surgeon General this last week talked about walkability and the health of our nation, you know, and I think that's part of what attracted my wife and I to move downtown. And so I think, you know, the initial start for this plan was the Friendly Area Neighbors in SOBA asking how we can make this area more walkable and more healthy. And so I think, you know, this helps achieve that. And that's the only emergency I'll deal with right now.
Okay, Eben Fodor, the housing affordability issue is important. And I think that when you do a plan of this scope and magnitude, you need to do some analysis about how it's going to impact housing affordability. We have an area here that's very diverse, very affordable, and it's going to be significantly impacted. So we needed to do that analysis. There's a lot of analysis that needs to be done and wasn't done. Cindy Allen talked about referring, planning way out in the future. Well, we don't really know what's way out in the future. And as a planner, I used to be a strong advocate of very long-term planning. But I realize you don't really know what's going to happen in 20 years. So to get out there in a 30, 40-year time period, you're getting very speculative territory. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. So, having a plan that could be implemented as soon as the end of this year, it seems premature in a lot of ways to me.
Susan Conley, City Club member. Thank you both so much for coming. I've followed your career, Mr. Fodor, for probably 25 years. You say you've been here, and all that time I've considered you an environmentalist. So I was really surprised when I saw you on this side of this issue. I, too, lived in South Eugene for 25 years. Couldn't walk anywhere, really. Now live downtown with apartment buildings, houses, nice neighborhood. Walk everywhere. Absolutely love it, as do all my neighbors. So my question for you is, if you don't want us to do a compact development in South Eugene, where would you like it to be?
Am I answering this question?
It was to you, yeah.
Okay. First of all, as I said, we've completed a planning process for 20 years, and we've already determined there's adequate land supply inside Eugene. So in some sense, this is a false setup. If you want to know where we should add density, well, I think there should be citywide process in which we try to determine that. And clearly the downtown is, would be a priority area. And certainly downtown is a big opportunity zone. It remains an opportunity zone. And that would be, my suggested focus. But I think there are also other areas that are likely to be more suitable. This area does not have the transit capabilities. Ultimately, I can see the city would be obliged to bring an MX line down the center of Willamette Street. So if you haven't considered that, that is likely the city's solution to the traffic problems that it's going to be creating. And so if you're a business owner on Willamette, you consider that that the MX line will require a 12-foot dedicated right-of-way, and that is something that should have been considered as part of this plan, both the impacts that it's going to have and the additional needs for public facilities that are not included with the plan should have been included. Thank you.
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. Do either of you or both of you feel that it would be necessary to postpone the decision time on this? The city has a timeline on the decision. Should that be delayed further?
I'll start with that. Bill Randall, no, I don't. And part of that reasoning is it's been through the process now for 5 years, and I think there's a danger of processing things to death. I think there's been very good input, regardless of what some people say. I think there's been a lot of neighborhood involvement. There's been a lot of vetting. There's been a lot of looking at all of the issues involved with this. And I think it's time to move forward and put these things in place so that we don't end up with a boom and 10-story buildings running down Willamette Street. I mean, that's just one thing that could happen if nothing happens.
Eben Fodor. So I think that if this plan were to sail ahead, it would have very serious ramifications for all of South Eugene. And it would have political ramifications, and those ramifications are gone for decades. So I think this would be a legacy that we do not want as a city. It would be a tragedy. So, yes, I think the plan needs to be delayed. I think the plan needs to go back to the neighborhoods and ask, what do neighbors really actually want here? And we need to start from that premise, and we need to develop a good plan. Could be a refinement plan. It should be an official planning process that makes sense to everybody. It's transparent and involves lots of neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandra Bishop, City Club member. That's a perfect segue to one of the questions that came from our table. The scope of this plan is much larger than most planning processes or projects that happen in the local area. It's much larger than allowed under the current notification rules from the LCDC, the Land Conservation Development Department. So why did the city not, given the ramifications of this kind of a large redevelopment scheme, why did the city not open up notification to a larger portion, if not the full city? And this has been done in the past for nodal developments that weren't nearly this impactful. So why wasn't that notification broader?
Thanks, Sandra. Eben responding. So yes, I think the public involvement needed to be quite a bit more extensive. This is indeed a massive land use action. In fact, in the 25 years I've lived here, I haven't seen anything of this scale. So, the Envision Eugene process was a large planning process, but this is the largest land use action that I've seen in the 25 years I've been here. And I haven't really seen anything like it anywhere in the state of Oregon. In fact, I haven't really seen anything like it anywhere in the country. So this to me seems like a very unusual a planning process. And I think it's hard to say what level of public involvement would be required, but I think if you're going to rezone someone's property, you want to have their permission, and you want to really engage them personally in that process, and I don't see that that has been done here.
And Bill Randall, I guess I'm struggling a little bit with 48 public community meetings and 25 work sessions with the Planning Commission as not being enough. I'm not sure how much more opportunity for involvement you can get. And okay, and I guess again, notifying people within the 300 or 500 foot radius. It's been in the newspaper. It's been now twice at City Club. I mean, I think there's been plenty of notice put out, and I'm sorry if that upsets some people, but there's been a lot of notice put out.
Yeah, Joe Koswick, City Club member. Table wanted to know, who are the members of the Southtown Business Association, and how is it currently in existence, and how do we get in touch with them?
This is Bill Randall, and I'm not sure at the moment, but I'm sure with the city, I'm looking at Terry or Jennifer, if there would be a way to contact them, or Andrew might know with Friendly Area Neighbors, since it's in your neighborhood.
I can at least share that, as I understand, the Southtown Business Association does not exist in that form anymore, okay. But it was comprised of people who own businesses in the proposed area.
Okay, thank you, Eben Fodor and Bill Randall, for bringing clarity and vision to the City Club program, South Willamette Special Area Zone. It was an excellent and informative program. Give a round of applause for the speakers. And thanks again to our sponsors, John Brown, Evans, Elder & Brown, Capella Market, and Dot Dotson's. We meet again on September 25th at the Downtown Athletic Club for Eugene Railroad Quiet Zone Update with guest speakers traffic engineer Tom Larson and Mark Bechtel, Salem Intern Urban Development Director. Lunches for the program can be ordered on the City Club's website or by contacting the office.